All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with my buddies Chuck and John.
Hey now.
In the baby dungeon.
In the baby dungeon. Again, we don't keep babies prisoner, but it just, you know, feels like it. Actually, I'm trapped here.
You are. You're the prisoner.
I am the prisoner.
There's some obstructions being built. You're like, this is your own little Mexico, and you're Donald Trump.
Yeah. No, the my baby is Donald Trump, and he has built the wall.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I will never go anywhere.
No. Yeah. He made you build the wall.
That's right. He forced me. He's like, you know what? You're going to have to finance this wall.
For context, there's like bizarre obstructions built from giant Lego blocks and hampers.
I'm a dad, so I know exactly what's going on here. Keith has set up an ottoman close to things that his son can pull down and
sharp
ruin.
Right. There is. Chuck is actually boxed into his microphone with a sectional piece of furniture that's turned on its side,
right.
leaning against a paper shredder.
Right. And yeah, he's making sure that the kid doesn't get into stuff. It speaks probably highly of what you're doing in here, which is watching your two TVs with some sort of weird sport event on while your son's foraying into danger.
Yeah.
So you just block him from the danger.
It is pretty good. His only words are basketball, football, just basketball, football.
That's beautiful.
Which is the two things he'll probably be saying his whole life. Like, my daddy never talked to me. He'll walk in any TV, he'll point at a TV, basketball.
I still can cite my interest in sports and continued interest in sports to two things: horrible addiction to gambling and willingness to have something to speak to my father about.
Yeah.
It's good we can bond over those things.
Important.
But, gentlemen, first and foremost, did we have breakfast?
I'm on a fast. I haven't done anything but V8 juicing for the past
Chuck,
2 days.
That's so gross.
My body's felt like garbage, and I've been eating nothing but my food truck, which, while it's tasty...
It is death from a bun.
It's death from a bun. It's not health from a bun. So I'm specifically trying to counteract that with just no meat and just vegetable juice.
Have you considered having a secondary option on the menu? You have your death from a bun menu, and then you can have your health from a bun.
No.
Like, are you cutting back a little? Try something from the health from a bun.
No, there should nothing.
It could just be V8 marked up at 10,000%. It's like a $10 V8 in a glass.
Yeah, that would work.
In a plastic cup.
Put it in an artisanal clay pot.
Mm-hmm. I can charge so much money in East Nashville.
Oh, man. Yeah.
All right. Let's quit the podcast. We'll start an artisanal V8 pot juice.
Pour the V8 in. Add one thing, the little dash of pepper.
Put a slider on a Q-tip.
Yep.
Lovely.
You can eat a slider, then clean your ears.
John, is it too early for Coors Light, or did you have a breakfast, or what's going on?
I had big plans for breakfast this morning. They involved Chuck. I had a skirt steak that I marinated in soy sauce and honey, and I wrapped it in Togarashi spices, and I said, all right, Chuck, come over early, and we'll eat steak and eggs, actual steak and eggs, before we do steak and eggs. Mm-mm. And Chuck was like, no.
That was it.
Well, Chuck,
I didn't even give an excuse.
Right.
That's all I said, was no.
Well, it was good, because I think Chuck knew how those things go, and Chuck showed up on time.
I feel like I was on time.
Well, you're on time.
You're kind of on John time.
You're bird time. Bird time.
Yeah, but I've been up very early. I'm demoing one of my houses, and it's awful. You ever demoed things?
Yeah.
I thought it'd be way more fun than it is, like more destruction. But really, it's just like peeling stuff off of walls.
That can be bad. I think I've only demoed things that weren't mine, so maybe it was more fun because you could pick and choose. You're like, oh, I don't want to peel that off. I do, however, want to take a sledgehammer to a toilet.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's the best.
Like that stuff's fun. Or like I do want to drive a scooter through this drywall.
I've got a bunch of peons doing it with me, and I've sort of let them do all the fun stuff.
Yep.
But I'm not really having a great time.
But did you end up, I'm sorry, back to the breakfast. Did you end up eating anything, or you dreamed about it?
I couldn't do it alone.
You couldn't bring yourself back to do it.
So I've had an orange Gatorade.
Lunch?
I'm having lunch after this.
You want to eat skirt steak?
No, you've lost that opportunity.
You burned that bridge. That's good.
I shouldn't have just said
I had one of my favorite, healthiest of breakfasts. Large slice of carrot cake.
Woo!
You get the carrots, you get the nuts, some raisins, nice cream cheese icing to give you that extra morning kick.
Your dentist and diabetesist just high-fived.
My dentist is my father-in-law, so I already get enough kind of condescension.
Does he give there. You all sorts of crap for not flossing?
No, we get my teeth checked every, like, 3 years, which is, you know, 3 years more than I did the 10 years before I was married.
Wow, and had, he lets you had, get away with that?
Well, and so he just ravages my gums, just rails on them.
He's just taking
blood off. Spurting everywhere. Oh, yeah. He's just like, you gotta clean these. He's like, you gotta start flossing. I'm like, I heard flossing was debunked. He's like, no, I don't think you gotta floss.
They're sadists, every last one of them.
Yeah, I go every 3 months. Just so I don't have to floss. That's my
That is your flossing.
That's my flossing.
You got a good dental plan with the VA? Is
no, it's like $80 a month to get your teeth cleaned.
All out of pocket.
$80 I pay out of pocket that way. I don't have to pay for a floss.
I go pretty frequently, but I when you talk about the blood flying, like I have a pretty intense blood phobia.
Yeah.
So like I go to like the sleepy time dentist.
No, it's good that I'm laying on my back with my feet up.
Yeah.
While he's doing the cleaning.
Yeah, I'm all tattooed up, so like pain doesn't matter to me like that. So.
Right. You could say that. Kevin Durant over here. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, after our breakfasts, we move on to our breakfast in bed apologies. And since we just started the season, I'll go ahead and do a little group one. We, when speaking extemporaneously, got a few facts wrong.
We were rusty.
Which happened. It's going to happen all year.
It's built into our business model.
We mentioned Anthony Davis. We cited him as being second in MVP. That never happened. He was fifth in the MVP voting.
Wow.
Highest he ever got. We also talked about LeBron being runner-up the year before last year. Of course, Kawhi was runner-up.
That's right.
LeBron's been third the last couple years.
Laughable in and of itself.
Well, as he coasts through the regular season, the MVP is a regular season award. So those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Before we move on, I want to tell you guys about Fan Essentials. As you know, it is a subscription service for extreme sports fans where you get a box of gear for your favorite team. They have NFL, NBA, and some college teams, maybe baseball teams. I'm not even sure. And they come to your house for starting the low, low price of $14.99 a month. Use the code FBBF and you get 30% off that subscription. And speaking of Fan Essentials, we have some boxes to give away for people who wrote iTunes reviews. First winner, ASAP Hodor.
Favorite name ever.
You were selected.
Is he a rapper?
It's a mashup of
DJ.
So ASAP Mob is a rap collective from New York that features rappers with the name ASAP and then blank. So
what about when it's ASAP? Like ASAP.
There's ASAP Rock, who is another rapper, but this is the ASAP with a dollar sign as the S.
Chuck, did you know? But there was an ancient Greek philosopher who told the story, fables they called
them? Yeah, Aesop's Fables. Yeah, I know these things. But ASAP Mob.
Did you know that ASAP means as soon as possible?
I did. Thank you, John. But yeah,
these are non-hip-hop lessons.
Thanks, John, for making me smarter today. But ASAP Hodor.
Yes.
Way to go, bud. That went off on a... Wonderful.
Is there a money sign in the S in ASAP?
I'm not sure. I just wrote down. I think it was just ASAP.
Don't think it's a rock.
Hodor.
I think it's a rapper.
No,
So get in contact with us. You want a box? Also, Mother's Milk. The O in Mother is a zero. Zero Thur Milk. You also won a Fan Essentials box. For all you guys who didn't win, we'll be doing the same thing in October. Write a review. You'll be entered to win a box. If you hate winning contests, go to fanessentials.net, get all the essentials you need. All right, guys. Real quick, steak and eggs. Best thing. What's the best thing of maybe the last week? I don't know. We're kind of flying through these before we get to our better or worse Eastern Conference previews, but does anyone have a steak and eggs? Best thing?
I enjoy coaches talking about preseason as if they care at all and uttering platitudes wherein they talk about really seeing, like, we're going to give Denzel Valentine some time as our lead guard and see how that works out. Maybe we'll try it during the season.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're not.
Point guard.
Yeah, you're not doing that.
Well, that's similar to David Fizdale talking about running a practice and putting Tony Allen at point guard, Tony Allen initiate all the offense.
It's almost like they're like kind of screwing with us.
Well, I mean, they have to do so much media.
Yeah.
They're just like, you know what I'm going to say today? This will be good.
This
will give the daily podcast people something to talk about.
A little book of quotes.
Right.
A little book of quotes of coaching quotes that are completely just falsehoods.
Right. Speaking of Tony Allen, my best thing is in Nashville, Tennessee, they have erected a giant Grizzlies billboard.
Yeah.
I see you, Grind City Media. It's trying to expand that regional reach.
Love it.
And we're doing what we can here, but I like to see you guys, you're meeting us halfway. which is a little past Jackson.
Jackson, just past that.
Yep.
Town.
Chuck, you got, props to
Chuck,
the Generals.
You got a steak and eggs?
Yeah, my best. You know, got to go with Popovich. He's been really doing good work while most coaches are making up, you know, player movements that don't matter for the roster. Popovich is talking about the stuff that matters when asked about Tim Duncan in a position with the San Antonio Spurs. He says, yeah, he's got a job here. He's the coach of whatever he wants.
Yeah, right, yeah.
That's amazing. And I'd like to imagine Tim Duncan now will be at the Spurs practice facility more than when he was a player. You know, like he's doing 80-hour work weeks and he's making Excel spreadsheets.
I want him to be the wardrobe assistant.
Well, it's funny because, one, it was breaking news that Duncan actually had an official position already within the Spurs. We assumed that was going to happen. We assumed he was going to, you know, get all kinds of large salaries that he accrued doing some silly job. But then, yeah, Pop saying, yeah, he's a coach of whatever he wants. Yeah,
he just shows up.
But it's also great because you keep hearing all these anecdotes of him during his career coaching players on the court.
Yeah.
Like Etan Thomas, I believe, had this story of like how he was, he did a jump hook and Tim Duncan was like, no, you got to put your shoulder into
put
me.
Put your body in.
So I can't block you or I have to foul you. So make sure you dip your shoulder into me before you release it. And then an incredible story that was recently written about Robert Swift, who I'm now ashamed that we mocked a couple times on our podcast.
That's right.
A man struggling with addiction. He talked about how when he was playing Tim Duncan and he was guarding him, Tim Duncan's like, no. Like he's like, you got to step in front of me. And then when the ball reverses, you want to swing your body around. It's cool. The play's not coming to me. But if it is, you'd be in position to defend it. Like just stories of Tim Duncan continually coaching players during the game.
That's how you do it.
Because he's a dungeon master.
He's so good.
He's got to spill out the rules.
Yeah. Those are so fantastic. Opposite of that. When we have more of these, we were going to skip these due of time, but because we had so many cream of wheats, worst of week, we figured we had to do them. So, guys, what are your cream of wheats?
Well, mine, there's nowhere to go as a Heat fan other than to talk about Christopher J.
Boshua.
Bosh, the boshest of the bosses. He, when last week we did talk about Bosch not being able to return, he was independently advised by an NBA doctor, not a Miami Heat doctor, and told that his blood clots weren't getting better and that he shouldn't be playing in the NBA this year. And that is an absolutely severely heartbreaking move for me as a Heat fan to see my favorite power forward of all time basically be told that he's done. Now, I know you got your web series.
It's over.
You think?
Even me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
John had a conspiracy last week where he had a web series and that this was all part of the story arc.
Yeah, that even Hollywood can save
John
us
now. Kept saying you don't start a web series if you don't know how it's ending. But, you know...
Turns out this is the end and it's a tragedy.
Well, and it's turned even more where now Bosch is lashing out at the Heat.
Right.
Because the Heat, he apparently found out on social media that the Heat were done with him and he recorded a thing where he said, you know, if the Heat think they're turning his illness into cap space, they got another thing coming.
Right.
And he said there's 29 other teams in the NBA. So this has, once again, become adversarial with people leaving the Heat organization.
The notion that Pat Riley's some wizard has
been debunked, I think.
Garbage.
Well, I mean, they made four straight finals. They won two finals. Mm-hmm. And that's it. I mean, that's three total.
He happened to go to a place where people want to play basketball, and he got the best player.
Yep.
Who colluded during Team USA, which was not even allowed.
Collusion's not a problem.
To bring all his guys.
It is not collusion when the players do it.
Right.
Players are allowed to.
Mm-hmm. I thought apparently even that's not allowed.
No, it's a Drake isn't allowed. Drake isn't allowed.
I had it confused.
No, I think it's strange.
I think there's a bigger problem here, though.
They've burned the bridge. What's the bigger problem?
So if this upper echelon super athlete is riddled with blood clots, what's inside our bodies?
No.
We're all going to die out here,
thetans.
Major.
We all have thetans.
Yeah, we all got the thetans.
There have to be 4 billion blood clots in my aorta right now.
Well, you know what? You're not a 7-foot tall man that travels via air, you know,
all the time,
50 nights a month.
Let's talk. That's a nice lead into my worst of the week. Basketball is filled with giant freaks whose feet break constantly.
Yeah.
It is terrible.
And they can't breathe and they can't run. And it's happened again. Another rookie bites the dust before we even get to watch him play. Ben Simmons, champion down.
But you know what it is? It's the fetishization.
Okay.
of the bigger, faster, stronger
fetish.
I did say he broke his foot, right?
Yes, foot fetish. No, it's the
easy Tarantino.
We all want, and I think that's the consensus: is a bigger player is a better player. A fast, it's going to be a more capable of handling the rigor of the NBA season. And in the past, what, 3-4 months, Ben Simmons was reported to put on 33 pounds. And
they said he's gained 30. He's gone from 217 as the time of draft to 250.
Which,
that's a lot of Shirley Temples.
Yeah. So that, makes that makes it, you kind of go, okay, well, that's probably not good for a 19-year-old to, take creatine and, mass-producing supplements to get him bigger. Because then you have these unintended consequences of broken feet and Joel Embiid doing what he does. That I think maybe this gives pause to the rest of the league. It's like, hey, let these guys grow naturally.
It's also there are so many foot injuries. Like right. You talked about the rookies. Like, Jabari Parker I think was a knee, but then Julius Randle had a problem. Blake Griffin going back. We have all these rookies, like big name, big time rookies, and then obviously the big guy, like Marc Gasol last year, broke his foot. It's sad. I mean, we don't know if it was the weight. They said
the curse of Sam Bowie.
Speaking of the curse, this is obviously terrible and sad news for all NBA fans, especially Sixers fans who have gone through this horrible 3-year rebuild.
Process.
However, Sixers fans, you need to maybe skip a few minutes ahead or turn this off. I've seen a couple of things being said that are like that I think need to be put to bed. Mm-hmm. One is like, how does this keep happening to us? Like Noel and Embiid. Guys, you drafted them because they were hurt.
Right.
Like, remember, like they fell because they were hurt.
Right.
So that doesn't count. This is its own unique thing in my mind. Yes, this is terrible, horrible luck. Mm-hmm. The next thing I've heard said, cover your ears, Sixers fans. What do we do to deserve this?
Mm.
You don't know?
You sound like Nerlens Noel right now.
Yeah.
He's been mad in the media.
You guys purposefully lost games for 3 straight years.
Mm-hmm.
You broke the trust of sports are trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the goal.
That might be the definition of, I don't know what the definition of sport is.
Yeah.
But like the goal is normally to win. You keep score, you declare a winner.
Yeah.
Did you hear not even Stanford wants Hinkie?
His
teaching at Stanford, quote unquote. I'm doing the air quotes right now.
Right.
That was debunked by Stanford.
I do like that Sam Hinkie is at a Palo Alto Starbucks right now listening to this podcast. It makes me happy to know he's out there.
He's blowing up our comments.
It could be,
good thing we have a character limit.
It could be, aftershocks from their mascot, Hip Hop the Rabbit, who wore
of the worst
a do-rag and was, absolutely the worst mascot of all time.
I'm pulling.
Is that the first racist rabbit?
There's no chance.
Wait a minute. Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny was horribly racist.
But obviously I want Ben Simmons to get back on the court. I hope he gets to play this year. I mean, people are talking about sitting him for the whole season just to make sure he's fully healthy. I mean, he was one of the guys who I made fun of his shooting. I think he's going to be transcendent. And I was so excited to watch him play. So I'm pretty Zoinks. Sad about it. All right, my worst thing is not much more needs to be said about Derrick Rose, but since there was media day since we last met,
goodness,
this man,
no idea what he's saying out loud.
Sam Vecenie pointed out, kudos to the Chicago Bulls PR people.
Lawyers, Jesus,
yeah, kudos in retrospect to the Bulls PR people for making him seem likable and quiet.
Right,
like now that he's in the Knicks, he just says stuff. Well, one, Phil Jackson spoke about him and said this rape trial. It's not a thing Derrick Rose is losing sleep over. Phil, come on, buddy.
You got to
be. Like, that's how gross can you be? And then they're asking more, because now that LA County or LA wherever is opening a criminal investigation, and Derrick Rose is like, they asked him how concerned he is about missing workouts while he's on trial. And he's like, well, I do those penitentiary.
Penitentiary.
It's like, I do those penitentiary workouts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, do you not hear how that sounds, no. Derek? Can someone take the mic from Derek?
I just do push-ups and sit-ups.
Just do it in my room.
Conjugal visits.
So he's just throwing out, penitentiary. Not the brightest bulb.
No.
That's why he didn't take that ACT.
Hey, but he won an MVP.
Allegedly, MVP. Can't take that from him.
No way.
I don't think.
Can we?
Maybe.
Can we take his and Steve Nash's second one? and Karl Malone's.
Charles
Barkley's. Just take these away.
Yeah. I think Bill Simmons did that in his basketball book. You can commiserate with him over that.
No, no.
I couldn't tell with all the verb sentence misagreements.
All right. So now the bulk of the show, or what's left of the show, we're going to try to go through very quickly and preview the Eastern Conference. Every year in the offseason, unless you're the Sixers, you try to get better. And most of these teams are thinking, all their fan bases are optimistic. Everyone's like, we brought this guy and this guy. This guy's going to get better. This guy's going to get better. So almost every NBA team comes into the season thinking, we got better.
Right.
So what we're going to do is go through the Eastern Conference, address the issue. I can't believe they're not better.
Butter.
So we have a game.
Puns.
Butter or worse.
It's all built on puns.
And so it's either are they butter or not. And John, you want to give us some teams to go through?
Let's wade through the cigarette smoke of Johnny Most and Tommy Henson and start with the Boston Celtics.
All right. So we're going to do maybe the Atlantic. Is it the Atlantic division?
We're starting with the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The Boston Celtics. They brought back pretty much their whole team. They brought back almost their entire team. And to it, they added Al Horford.
And Gerald Green.
Gerald Green, who knows if he sticks, but that was an interesting time to get him back. So, and they added pretty much the number three pick. So this is, I think this one's pretty easy because they had pretty much the same team last year.
Better.
Yeah, they're better. Like they won 48 games last year, and now they're adding to it Al Horford, who should fill that hole. They're replacing Jared Sullinger.
And Evan Turner, addition by subtraction.
Right. Mm-hmm. And even Evan Turner was like their secondary ball handler. So they think Terry Rozier or one of those other young guys might step in to be secondary ball handler. I think this is pretty easy. No reason to overthink it.
I still think it's interesting to me that I still think the Celtics have not added the type of player that I think Brad Stevens wants to add, which is more of a Kevin Love type.
Yep. Like, I mean, Kevin Love might be available.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't made a move like that.
Yep.
Because he really wants to use that stretch four. And I wouldn't categorize Al Horford as such.
No. Even though Horford has long talked about wanting to play more power forward. But yeah, so I mean, I think they're better. Chuck, you...
I agree. Yeah, I think you got a young team that's going to age well, coming more closer to their prime with, you know, Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart, you know.
If those guys could even shoot better. So I think it is, yeah. We think they're still on the ascension. We think those guys still have room to improve. Right. I think Isaiah Thomas might have maxed out. He was great last year.
He was.
I think you almost hope that he just keeps that up. But yeah. So yeah, this team should be better.
Yeah, if Isaiah Thomas doesn't regress, then they're definitely a better team.
Right. Who we got next?
Taking the baton is the team of formerly owning the greatest mascot of all time, the Brooklyn Knight, the one and only Brooklyn Nets.
This team confuses me because they're only returning five players.
Right.
Right.
They got rid of a lot of flotsam and jetsam.
But
Thaddeus Young.
But they replaced them with nothing.
Flotsam and jetsam.
With more of the same.
I think they got rid of lowercase flotsam and jetsam and brought in uppercase flotsam and jetsam.
Right. Jeremy Lin back in New York City might be a thing. He could relive in Linsanity once again.
Gonna have to beat out Bojan Bogdanovic.
Yeah, and he's gonna be fighting Grievous Vasquez for minutes.
But I mean, they have one of the strangest and most oddball collections of talent, and they're stuck in a world where they don't have their draft picks. I mean, the team was 21 games last year. They're terrible.
Right.
I think I'm gonna say butter. I think they are better, but they're not good.
I'm gonna go parquet.
So you think they're worse? Not butter. John,
the only thing that makes them butter is if Brook Lopez were to stay healthy, and his metatarsals are probably in danger as well.
I mean, his metatarsals have held up for several years. They're almost no longer an issue.
Mm-hmm. They're due.
Yeah, they could be due. I mean...
I like Isaiah Whitehead, that draft pick, but as much as I like that draft pick, I hate the Caris LeVert draft.
So you already cited a second-round pick, so that's bad news.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's bad news for the Nets.
Yeah, and they have they've added a player named Yogi. To their training camp roster.
They're the latest on the Anthony Bennett carousel.
I mean,
there's just not a lot to love here.
No,
they have the silliest collection of power forwards.
Yeah.
Luis Scola, Anthony Bennett.
Picked up your son in the offseason.
Big number Trevor Booker. Yeah, Chase Buddy Budinger, who might be their starting three. I mean, hopefully
Randy Foy.
Hopefully he won't. I think Randy Foy might get a lot of garbage minutes.
I think so, too. I'll be looking at him in fantasy.
He is a he's the Michael Jordan of garbage time. Yeah. So Randy Foy. So, but I still think you think they're worse, Chuck. I mean, John, you think they're worse. I think they're better. Chuck, what do you say?
I think if we have to choose between butter or parquet, I'm going with vegan butter because it doesn't matter.
It doesn't
and
matter.
It has no meaning in my life.
They're still so bad.
They're still just...
What's vegan butter made from?
Soybeans,
probably.
Probably just soy and canola oil.
Yep.
Oh, whipped. They probably put that on my popcorn.
Let's move on to their burrow buddies.
From Jay-Z and his Russian oligarch friend, we move to a team that... believes that if you don't dress appropriately, something bad might happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Knicks.
I don't. What was that reference? If you don't dress properly,
talking about Derrick Rose.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Well, it's super dark.
Yeah,
not meant to be lingered on. Like okay, we just did.
Yeah, let's gloss right past that.
Right.
All right. So
this is the weirdest one to talk about.
Yeah, this is one that makes me scratch my head. I think everyone, I feel like in our nation's largest media market. Has decided that they have a good starting lineup. Like they brought in Derrick Rose and Courtney Lee, and they traded to get or they signed Joakim Noah,
Brandon Jennings.
Yeah, the Brandon Jennings was a fine flyer to see if he can recover and shoot 40% from the field for the first time in his life.
Yeah,
it looks like a really bad video game team.
Yeah,
like a team that like you end up making when you like trade away all your draft picks and. You're not a with the exception of Willie Hernan Gomez, of course.
Yeah, who was fun. They have a new coach, which I think will help. Because I mean, Derek Fisher, I think was fine, and then Rambis was not fine.
Rambis
talking about basketball production only.
Rambis is an anti-legend, one of the worst coaches ever.
Yeah,
it's true.
So I would have to say I guess they're better because I think Porzingis will have his sophomore year. He will increase his 3-point shooting, which I think is typical of a lot of rookie shooters. Mm-hmm. He's gotten more used to the length of the shot, so I think we're going to see his shooting percentage go up. I think they're going to focus more on him. Hopefully, Hornacek focuses on him. The other additions I think are overstated. I mean, obviously, Derrick Rose is bad.
So you don't think that Derrick Rose's Randy ways will cut into Stapp's usage? I feel like it might a lot.
It might, but also this is a guy who wasn't getting, he had pretty low usage last year.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Carmelo shot bad last year. I think Carmelo, if he can rebound some.
But throwing another ball hog into the mix doesn't seem to help,
no,
in my view.
In every way, adding Derrick Rose is bad.
Yeah, I'm going.
But they had terrible, they did not have good point guard play last year. Sasha Vujicic was playing some point. Jerian Grant played some point, but it wasn't good.
Yeah, he's gone. They cut cord on a lot of younger guys.
Right. I think adding Courtney Lee, you know, to the starting unit is a big boost. So I'm going to say they're better.
How many games did they win last year?
32.
Oof.
I think they're definitely better, but I'm pretty low on this team.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing to upcoming over under podcast.
I'll go parquet.
So you think the Knicks are worse this year?
I just don't believe that we'll get a whole lot of minutes with the likes of Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah on the court that are meaningful. And that's not just injuries. That could just be
they're not good.
Right. I've always liked Joakim Noah, but even if he brings like that weird intangible glue guy thing to this team, like. What's that worth, like 4 or 5 wins? And then Derrick Rose is probably taking 4 or 5 wins.
Right. And they're incredibly thin at guard,
yeah,
too.
Right.
I mean, Derrick Rose, Brandon Jennings. I mean, Holiday is going to be the backup shooting guard.
God.
But yeah, and you assume those guys aren't going to play all their games. So, yeah. But I still think, 32 wins is bad. And they had a weird rotation of players last year.
Yeah, and if you know,
I think
Porzingis,
marginally better is what I'm saying. So Chuck, what's your?
Gosh, this the East is so depressing.
Yeah, I really wish we'd done the West first.
Yeah, it would have given me hope.
We were down on the East last year, and the East had a
they were dominant.
Yeah, they beat out the Western Conference.
So. I don't think the Bulls were that great last year, and they added 3 Bulls.
That's a great. Yeah. It's a great way to look at it.
So worse. I could see honestly Carmelo taking a step back this year.
We are losing all of our Knicks fans.
I know that that's hard for you people
that's
in the
fine.
The mecca of basketball to take, but if Carmelo regresses, this team is worse, even if Porzingis gets better.
Yeah.
Because they do rely on his heavy usage so much for points that I can't see it being a better
team. And if Carmelo, I mean, again, Carmelo's better at the four, and it's like they aren't built, the roster isn't built for him to play that. There aren't many good wings on the team. So, yeah. All right, but that's one butter, two parquets for our New York Knicks. Who we got next?
From the tawdry New York Knicks, we move to our favorite procedural. We've gone from special victims unit to full-blown homicide. Philadelphia 76ers.
Life on the streets.
This one's pretty easy. I mean, they won 10 games.
So
butter.
So yeah, they're going to be better. they're going to be better. I mean, now Ben Simmons isn't playing. Assuming Embiid or Saric play, I mean, even if they don't, at least adding a couple of NBA players in Jared Bayless and Gerald Henderson and Sergio Rodriguez, my handsome doppelganger.
He does look somewhat.
They're gonna be better.
Yeah,
because you can't be worse.
Yeah, you can't be worse in 10 games by much.
Can Jahlil Okafor get worse at defense? Let's find out.
Yeah,
I am. However, I am on Team Jahlil. I feel like he's taking a lot of guff.
Yeah,
man was a rookie. Showed a lot of talent.
He can score.
Yeah. I think people are sleeping on him.
I was impressed by his passing.
Yeah.
I think he's a fantastic offensive player.
Right.
And it's Christmas time in Hollis Thompson.
Let's go and slide on. I mean, we talk about them so much anyway. Woo-hoo! They're going to be better.
Yeah.
That process was shout.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move up to the North.
We the North.
Toronto Raptors.
Toronto Raptors, they mainly lost Bismack Biyombo, replaced him with fictional character Jakob Poeltl.
James Johnson's gone.
I mean, preseason basketball alert. Pascal, is it Siakam? Siakam? I don't know.
I'm gonna go with this Zika rookie, virus.
That rookie looked to be way better than Poeltl. He looked pretty good. But so they added Jared Sullinger to be a starter, and then it's pretty much the same team as last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to decide if losing Luis Scola and the benefits of that is going to outweigh the detriments of losing Bismack Biyombo.
Yeah.
That's the big question.
That's the
they
big
didn't
question.
Really add anything.
I mean, Sullinger is better than Scola, I think, for what they're doing.
Sort of.
I mean, at this point, he is, I think.
He's fatter.
So I think Sullinger improves that starting lineup. But yeah, losing Bismack Biyombo, losing James Johnson, who still got to play, you know, a few minutes here and there.
You're really shoehorning him in there.
I have a contract that says I have to mention him every show.
Yeah. It's really about, I think, I don't believe much in coaches and their ability to squeeze wins out of their roster, but if they can stay healthy and motivated, I think they still aren't going to be that good.
You brought Dwayne Casey into this.
I mean, yeah, this team won 56 wins last 56 games last year.
I don't see him doing that again. I'm going to go parquet.
Well, I mean, I think they're worse because of the Bismack is a huge loss.
I also
I don't know if you can count it, but I think we might have peaked out on DeRozan and Lowry and Valanciunas. And it was an incredibly healthy year for that team last year of those three guys. And I don't know if we're supposed to factor in just guessing that a guy might miss a few more games,
mm-hmm.
but I don't, they're definitely not better. So they might be the same.
Yeah.
But so I guess I would lean to saying
which
the worst.
So if they're not, if they're the same and the East is way worse,
yeah,
then maybe they'll have a better record, but I can't see him winning 57 games. I mean, not that roster. It doesn't, but you know, every other team stinks too. So
I think, we're all saying worse, but we're not strong about it. They're just so similar.
They'll probably win like 52 games.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. What's our next division?
Let's move to the Central.
Okay.
And let's start with the, suddenly like, feel good story just because Derrick Rose is not on their roster of the Chicago Bulls.
I have trouble with this one.
It's incredibly hard.
This is one of the more confusing ones.
Fred Hoiberg looks at this roster and he says butter.
Well, I look at Fred Hoiberg and I'd say parquet.
Right. Well, that's what I was about to say. I think they're assembling the type of guys he wants to run with, but I don't know if it's something that's going to work.
I mean, it's weird that this team had a winning record last year. They were 42-40. Jimmy Butler is still fantastic.
Yeah.
The spacing is the issue of this whole team. You don't see how they can get shots off. McDermott, the one guy who hits shots, and Snell, both don't seem good.
Right.
But it's, you know, we don't know if what we've seen from them all. They brought in some Knicks who were bad. But Robin Lopez, you know, you think
energy guy.
You know, he's a solid, he's an okay starter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what if it's gonna be Bobby Portis. I think Mirotić will hopefully be unleashed. But there's no sign that Hoiberg is going to, like, he didn't unleash him last year.
Yeah,
I think if Mirotić can play close to 30 minutes at the power forward, that's going to be good for them.
Yeah. I can't believe you haven't brought up Rajon Rondo yet.
Well, I mean,
he's your kryptonite.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's bad, but also, like, the Bulls last year did not get awesome point guard play. I mean, they had almost nothing. I feel like
Rajon Rondo is an upgrade over what they had last year.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. Like there was nothing last year. I mean, Etuan Moore's a good player, but he was like more on a combo guard. And then,
I make my Canola-esque judgment, Chuck, how's Dwayne Wade going to fit in?
It looks like he got paid and then ate a bunch of food in the offseason.
He's looking very Raymond Felton-y on social media.
Because the last time I saw him, it was in the playoffs, really.
And he was killing it.
And he was killing it, and he looked great, and he was in shape, and he was fighting for a contract, his last contract ever, probably.
Right.
And got paid, and then went to Cheesesteak Factory a bunch.
Cheesesteak Factory?
I want that restaurant.
Yeah.
I don't know. He looked, I don't know the word, like a cherub.
Yeah.
He's
cherubic?
Cherubic. He looks.
That's how I describe myself when I don't want to call myself morbidly obese.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Wade has been, I think he might be planning on playing into shape, which means, or playing his way into shape during the year. And that probably means he's going to get injured. And if that's the case, then my prediction of the wonderful Deion Waiters having a better season than Dwayne Wade will hold true.
I think it's that rare free agent acquisition that simultaneously made both teams worse. That Bulls Heat Dwayne Wade acquisition.
I don't. Yeah, this team is a total mystery to me.
I'm going Parquet.
So you think they're worse? Yeah,
you will. Pau Gasol was an all-star last year. He's gone.
Yeah. Right.
Joakim Noah was largely known as the heart and soul of this team. He's gone. Derrick Rose was the identity of this team. He's gone. Jimmy Butler is a good player, but if they do well, it sure is a testament to Jimmy Butler, and he'll have to be in the conversation at least for MVP.
I mean, I like, you know, Taj Gibson's a good player if he can stay healthy, which is always
it's so
issue.
Funny that he ended up being the last man standing because he was rumored to be moved
right.
so many times.
They always wanted to move him, but finally, you know, Gasol moved on.
Yeah.
Noah moved
bigger
on.
Bigger operas. Bigger, better operas in
right.
New York.
Yeah, so I'm lost on this team. I don't know. I don't think Denzel Valentine's going to get much play. And then you just have kind of like a blah.
He's
team.
Their most interesting acquisition to me, but I agree that he just won't play enough to be a deal breaker.
I'm going to say worse, but I'm not passionate about it. Again, this team befuddles me.
I think pretending to know what the Bulls are going to do is a fool's errand.
Good, so we won't try.
But then again, I could go better only because if, you know, Wade's got a little, you know, fire under his butt.
And Derrick Rose was horrible.
He was so bad. And Rondo's got to prove something, I think, and will, you know, probably play harder with Wade by his side. I could see them being a little better than their crappy record last year.
Yeah.
We move from Chi-Town to a place where really they can't get much higher. Cleveland Cavaliers.
I know what you're talking about. They got Chris Anderson.
They got the Birdman.
Chris Anderson.
They got the Birdman.
Mr. Popovich, what did you think of the play of Chris Anderson?
But is that going to offset Mo Williams unexpectedly retiring after he announced he was returning, like,
right,
all within the span of a week?
Hey, that Dunleavy signing is sneaky.
It is good.
Yeah, gives him a little shooting.
Get a little dirty with Dunleavy.
Gives someone
too.
For Antetokounmpo to put his targets on.
Absolutely.
Knock him into the second row.
Yep.
I think they're worse. I think they're all...
How can they be better?
Well, I mean, they won the championship, but everyone's a year older. Who matters?
Yeah.
Dellavedova might be missed because they have no backup point guard.
One of their best lineups included Dellavedova.
Right. So, I mean, obviously they're the team, they're the shoe-in in the East. They're going to make the finals unless something disastrous happens. But I think they're a little worse. So, yeah, Parquet.
Objectively worse.
I'm a little sad because my favorite player name to say, Sasha Khan.
Sasha Khan.
He's retired.
Sasha Khan is gone.
Sasha Khan retired?
Yeah.
He didn't just go back to China? That's a Jayhawk legend. Go back to Russia, rather.
Mm-hmm.
That was brief. Yeah. This should be similarly brief. Detroit Pistons.
So the Detroit Pistons, I think, are better, but I would like to point out, I'm very down on them.
Yeah.
They brought back the exact, like, they have the exact same team. They just added a handful of guys who I'm not sure are good. So I just
take back what you said about Boban.
So I think
you take back what you said.
So Boban, obviously, I adore him as any cult hero.
Right.
We would worship. Is he good in actually playing basketball games when you already have a gigantic oversized center and Andre Drummond?
We won't know. We will never know.
Yeah, no. I don't get it. I think the John Lure signing, not good. Mm-hmm. I think the Ish Smith signing, hideous.
Was Boban acquired for free throw percentage reasons?
He could be. They have the exact same team, and then they added a handful of guys who I think they are going to regret signing all of them.
Mm-hmm. John Lure and Ray McCallum, Grizzlies cast-offs.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, I don't think they didn't massively improve their team. So maybe I'll push this one. I'm going to say nothing. That's exactly the same, and that's not good enough for me. So
you're reusing last year's butter?
Yeah, this is the same. What do you guys feel?
I will say slightly butter.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm leaning. So I'm going to say nothing. You're slightly better.
I think slightly better too, only cuz this, you know, that the core is a little older, you know, but they're still not past peak.
Here's the reason. Age. I think KCP may make a leap this year.
He could. He's a good player.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
So if he can become like that, like really sort of be there, and also Stanley Johnson gives you some hope.
Right.
Yeah.
They're better simply because they're a year older and they have the youth.
Yeah. Another year of seasoning that maybe Tobias Harris, who played well for them,
figured out.
Get him more integrated alongside Stanley Johnson. Yeah, I could see it. So we got two betters and one the same.
Let's go from vanilla to Nilla wafer, Indiana Pacers.
Indiana Pacers, I think, are one of the more intriguing ones.
No, nobody can like fast reboot a team like Larry Bird.
It is a fast reboot. I saw several places where I think it was SiriusXM, their NBA show, they gave the Pacers the best offseason, which Kevin Durant joined the Warriors.
Yeah.
But anyway, they gave the Warriors second. They gave the Pacers the best offseason, which blows my mind. Because I think what
really
the,
weird.
I think what the Pacers did was very strange.
Yeah.
They replaced their two best, you know, not the two best, Paul George still there, but they replaced two of their better defenders, Jan Mahinmi and George Hill.
Yeah.
With minus defenders, with Jeff Teague.
George Hill was probably a top 10 point guard last year.
And then they upgraded Miles Turner. They promoted him to starter. They did bring in Thaddeus Young, which again, the George, Thaddeus Young, Miles Turner, seems like that's an intriguing, fun, not shooting, but that's an intriguing and fun thing.
They tried to run last year, and then it's like they got Miles Turner, and they're like, let's slow it down, bring in Professor Al.
Right, and they brought in Al Jefferson, which I think doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Larry Bird said he wanted them to score more, which, as Ian Levy pointed out on our podcast, I wish he would have said score more efficiently, because scoring more doesn't really help us.
Right.
You know, like you have, if you're not doing it efficiently. So they said they wanted to play faster, but they then brought in, like you said, Big Al.
Yeah.
Right. Where it's like he plays slow. They brought in a coach, Nate McMillan, who was not a new voice.
Defensive coach.
He'd already been on the team. His teams he's coached have played at the slowest paces ever.
Right.
So this is a team where I feel like they're very optimistic. I feel like by default, they might be in the top. They might be like the four or the five seed, because I think a lot of other teams are taking a step back. But I don't love what they did at all. So I'm split. Can you guys go? You think it's butter or parquet?
Parquet.
So you think worse?
George Hill was the straw that stirred that disgusting vanilla milkshake that was the Indiana Pacers. I don't really like Jeff Teague unless he's in the playoff game. I'm with you. I kind of don't get it. I could see them just by virtue of the talent they're able to trot out. Perhaps they have a similar record as last year, but let me caveat. I do not like the direction they're headed. Let's just put it that way.
I mean, I think not to put a win total on it, but last year they were 45-37. I feel like, and that was seventh.
Yeah.
I feel like they might finish fourth.
You're probably
but also
right.
with 45 wins, it, like I don't think this team got noticeably better. I think Vogel to McMillan is actually that's a problem.
Yeah,
I mean maybe there was some. I haven't heard the stories.
Yeah, they went from one of the best coaches to a coach who to me has always been.
But maybe there was some exhaustion among the players right. with Frank Vogel, and so right. maybe they will get a kick. I don't know. Like I am worried that Jeff Teague had I think career best shooting on the Hawks, and I don't think that's going to translate. I mean on his last year, obviously he's only been on the Hawks. But
what do you think, Chuck?
I don't think it's going to translate.
I think the loss of Mai Ty Lawson is going to be...
that's good. Who played one of the worst NBA seasons ever last year.
That could help them. You're looking at Miles Turner taking a little bit of a jump in year two. Paul George cementing himself as a player.
Are we sure Miles Turner is good?
Yes.
Yeah.
Miles Turner was awesome last year. Yeah, I mean, obviously, they're going to step up his usage, and he's now no longer the awesome, bouncy six-man guy.
Right.
He now has to do it as a starter's place. But I'm worried their defense is just going to be worse. They're going to score more because they're going to be giving up way more points.
Here's my certain lock, though, for the Pacers. Due to the blind racist owner
right.
of the Indiana Pacers, who only listens to games on the radio, Rakeem Christmas is getting traded.
Yeah.
If you guys remember one of our very first conspiracy
like a
theory.
Sinbad character.
So I think, yeah, that's.
I was very surprised when they traded for him last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Wrapping up the division.
Cold beer, Milwaukee Bucks.
Milwaukee Bucks, who were in more interesting conversation.
Until Chris Middleton exploded.
Right. So I guess we don't need to spend much time on it because obviously they're worse by losing their 1A best player. I think
right.
Antetokounmpo gets all the love and he has all the upside.
The MVP candidate.
Right. but Middleton might have actually been their best player. I think he was their best player last year.
So too.
And so losing him is devastating. I'm not sure they were going to be better even if he was there. I mean, you think another year of Antetokounmpo giving up on Michael Carter-Williams as your starter and just giving it all to Antetokounmpo and then Jabari Parker making a step.
Michael Beasley aside, I thought their offseason was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like the addition of Mirza Teletovic. I think Matthew Dellavedova, just by virtue of him not being on the other team injuring your star players, is a positive. And I thought they had one of the coolest drafts. Like Malcolm Brogdon to me is a player who might be able to contribute his rookie year, and Thon Maker, like, you know, that was a guy who was talked about as a lottery pick until they realized he was 46 years old. That's the positives I have to say about the Milwaukee Bucks. Now let's get to the grim reality. Without Chris Middleton, they're just a bunch of tall guys flailing.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say parquet.
Yeah. I mean I think it's definitely parquet. They can't shoot. They last year forgot how to defend.
They really can't shoot.
Yeah.
Well, I think, replacing a heavy marijuana user in O.J. Mayo with a heavy marijuana user in Michael Beasley.
R.I.P. O.J. Mayo, moving on to the hard stuff and getting suspended.
Yeah.
That really bums me out.
It was hard stuff?
Well, I mean, yeah, he's suspended for 2 years.
No, but what did he fail for?
Oh, steroids, right?
No. I mean, it's
crack?
It's on the amphetamine or whatever list.
Oh,
it's the thing
really?
That happened to Birdman. When, like, it's the only way you don't get suspended for...
Adderall.
You know,
no. Oh,
for pot, it's like five games on your third one.
Oh, okay.
Like, no, he's suspended on the hard drug, amphetamine
really?
Type thing.
I thought it was weed.
No, you can't. It's impossible. This is not the NFL. you don't miss a whole season for weed. Let's move on to the very interesting.
Let's get to the Southeast.
Yeah, the Southeast.
This is a really bizarre team to talk about in the post-Horford era.
Right.
Atlanta Hawks.
I'll train.
I think they're definitely worse. I think they replaced. They actually were kind of bad.
Smell worse.
Howard's
in town.
We listened to our Hawks preview that I did with Brad Rowland. Like, they were bad on offense last year, even though people think they were good. And they replaced Jeff Teague and Al Horford
with Dwight Howard and Jared Jack.
Well, and with Dennis Schroeder. Like they replaced good offensive players.
Dennis Schroeder's not good.
With worse offensive players.
Yeah.
And one of their keys to their team last year was they had a really good backup point guard. Now they don't have a good backup point guard because he's been promoted.
Yeah. He just went from like top five backup NBA point guard to bottom five starting NBA point guard.
Right. So John, and you've been down on Schroeder for a while.
Yeah.
And I tend to agree with you. I think he's okay player. He's gonna be
He's like a fiery, fun guy to watch, but he's like very me first and not a good team player. I think my basically from Atlanta, and all my Hawks fan buddies are talking to me how Mike Muscala is going to step up.
Oh, I didn't even think Mike Muscala is a definite to make the roster. But I mean, the Hawks' optimism this year is based on the Schroeder Howard pick and roll, which could be a thing because it will be a point guard who will be looking to throw him those lobs.
The Howard homecoming is something, I guess.
Right, which Howard hasn't had. He hasn't had a point guard ever looking to throw him lobs in forever. But they hope that the shooting that kind of regressed on the team last year will bounce back up. Korver and
maybe don't sign Tim Hardaway Jr. if you want your shooting to bounce back up.
So, but I think they're definitely worse. What do you think, Chuck?
I think your Dwight Howard looking for lobs era ended about 2 years ago. He's no longer the guy that can jump like he used to. And you know, I don't think they're a better team. No.
Yeah, I think it's a bounce back year. I think it'll be pretty good.
Buds is a good coach.
Buds is a good coach, but I think it's gonna be more of a struggle this year. So yeah,
moving on. Buds isn't quite as good a coach as the one and only Michael Kidd-Gilchrist coached Charlotte Hornets.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, we do need to say Steve Clifford, who is one of my favorite NBA coaches.
We know MKG is the real sauce.
Well, MKG is the big issue. If you want to argue that this team got better.
That was their big offseason acquisition, so to speak.
Right. I mean, don't forget they traded for Marco Bellinelli.
Yeah, and they got
hoping for a
and Roy Hibbert,
right, human right. garbage can Roy Hibbert.
So this team
is terrible.
I think this team is worse. I think, but I do think
Parquet.
I think the general NBA talk I'm hearing about them is a little too low, though. I think Steve Clifford is an elite coach. I think they're still a very good defensive team. They're still a pretty good offensive team. The problem is last year you had kind of peak seasons.
You need Kemba Walker to repeat a career year, which is not going to happen.
And Nick Batum and Marvin Williams. So it's like that's not great depending on that. And then you lost Courtney Lee to replace him with Marco Bellinelli. And then Jeremy Lin, who was the big six-man candidate last year.
I thought he was great. I think their departures are pretty rough.
Right.
I still think they'll be a good defensive team. I just don't expect them to be able to score at that rate again. So I think with a significant decline is in order. This is a team that could fix itself pretty easily with trades, though.
Yeah.
Because they have on the defensive side of the ball, and like as far as like highly touted rookies, they kind of have an embarrassment of riches.
Mm-hmm.
So they could remake this team pretty quickly. I just don't know if they will.
Yeah. Chuck, what are you feeling?
They're going to be worse than last year. Union leader Frank Kaminsky turns into something.
Right.
We could probably see, you know, I don't know, three or four games worse than last year.
Yeah, I mean, which isn't bad. I think even Hornets fans would take three or four games worse. They were in that, whatever, four-way tie with 48 wins last year.
I think it's going to be significantly worse unless they do something.
And a lot of people think that. I think it's all tied to, like you said, it's all tied to union leader Frank Kaminsky becoming a little better, mm-hmm. and then it's Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Right. Any narrative that the Hornets are going to be better this year is that Kidd-Gilchrist plays the whole season, and is what we saw.
I just don't know how Kidd-Gilchrist fits in on that team anymore.
Man, he's going to play some small power forward or some wing. I think, Kemba Walker, Batum, Kidd-Gilchrist, Marvin Williams, 1-4. That's pretty awesome if those guys are all playing peak basketball like we've seen. Right. If we see them each how they played last year and then add in Kidd-Gilchrist, that's pretty awesome. And even like a Cody Zeller, it'll be pretty good. But I do think they're going to be worse.
You got way too much love for a Spencer Hawes led team.
I do.
Bienvenido a Miami, Chuck.
I don't want to talk about this.
Super
full blown rebuild.
It's not even Parquet. We can't even talk about it being in the world of Butter. It's just sad. It's just sad.
Safflower oil.
Yeah, that's what it is.
They still have UD.
I love UD. He's
Luke Babbitt, baby.
Yeah, James Johnson and Willie Reed.
No, yeah, they're going to be. I mean, they lost.
This is your dream scenario, though, Keith, because James Johnson's going to get some run.
He should get some run now, especially now that Josh Richardson is down a little, and I guess they'll have to size up a little.
I'm worried about how is Josh D. Richardson going to play with only one leg, one of his four legs.
Well, he's
only three legs.
Justice Winslow went from averaging 6 points last year as like the sixth option on offense. He had a good year, but he was a total non-factor on offense, never looked to score, and now he's like, oh,
I have to.
Like, you are the wing player.
Right.
Excited and about watching him shoot about 21% from three this year.
Here's the thing, though. Dragic and Whiteside might blow up. I don't know. Not in a good way, but point maybe fantasy basketball-wise. fantasy alarm going off.
Yeah, they're not going to. I think there's a chance that it's, you know, that theory of somebody's got to score.
Yep.
And an NBA team is going to score 80 points a game, so you're probably going to see Whiteside in the 20s range, you know, 10, 12 rebounds. And if he maintains his dominance defensively, where he's getting four blocks a game, then, you know.
Stat hunting.
Yeah, he's going to make the All-Star team, and he'll, you know, it'll look good for him.
Hard to make the All-Star team when you win 25 games.
Well, it's hard to not make it when you're, you know, 21, 12.
I'm just kidding, Heat fans. No, you guys are bad.
No, we're real bad, and I think 25 games is kind of
not only
hopeful.
Are you bad, LeBron James has made it his mission in life to destroy Pat Riley, and now you have Bosch and Wade on his side.
Right.
No one's ever going to Miami again.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah. All that.
What's really going to happen is they're going to get Bosch's contract off the books, and then LeBron James will have a 3-year window to convince one team to sign Bosch to the minimum, in which case all that, like, where the insurance company will pick up the tab.
Right.
All that is, it's like the way the Grizzlies screwed the Trailblazers by signing Darius Miles 2 years after he had his contract, you know, medically wiped off.
Right. Right.
So LeBron will definitely stick that to Mickey Arison and Pat Riley. Anyway, that's the Heat are worse.
I wish we were going to greener pastures, but instead, let's go to Disney World, boys and ghouls. Orlando Magic.
Orlando Magic have been the team on the rise for 5 years, who never
for 15 years,
who never got better. They don't have. They have huge question marks at point guard. They made some very perplexing free agent signings. I hated. I need to get an Orlando Magic fan who supports the moves on here, because I'm still baffled by everything they've done over the last 2 to 3 years.
They signed Serge Ibaka and then the younger Serge Ibaka in the same offseason. They signed Serge Ibaka, and then they got Bismack Biyombo, who probably does what
those are not
Serge
similar players.
It reminds me of when Serge used to swat everything around.
Right.
Before he started shooting threes.
Shot blocking
all the time.
And rebounding, but Bismack obviously with no shooting range.
None.
No, that they have.
But Serge was better when he didn't shoot threes.
They have a loaded front court but loaded it in kind of the wrong way, where the pieces don't fit together. Like, you're like, oh, Serge and Vucevic playing next to each other. Okay, that might work, because Vucevic is a terrible rim protector, but then how does Biyombo fit?
And you need to play Aaron Gordon.
And Aaron Gordon is going to be playing the three, but they got Jeff Green. Why is Jeff Green on this team?
Right.
Who's playing point guard?
Yeah, Elfrid Payton, just give it all back to him, I guess.
Fournier?
I mean, they got rid of Oladipo, which seems bad, but maybe, I guess, the idea is if you thin out the rotation so it makes more sense, so Fournier knows his role better and there's time for Hezonja, but I don't get it. Man, I don't get it. Vogel, we did talk about him being such a good coach, maybe he'll fix it. That's that the hope?
I mean, to me, I'm going butter, and it has simply to do with Frank Vogel, and I feel like they have better players on the team than they did last year.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell they're going to do. It's a grim melange, but I think it's better that there's better ingredients.
Yep. You think that? I think there's better ingredients, but they don't fit.
That's the problem.
So I'm gonna say worse.
Yeah.
Because I think Oladipo might have been their best player, and now he's not on the team. Although, I mean, they did handle his absences last year. I mean, they weren't good. Again, you know, they were a non-playoff team, so I think they will be a non-playoff team again. But I'm going to say a little bit worse.
I agree.
It's a little bit worse for you,
yeah,
Chuck?
Yeah, I think they're just, I mean, you can say on the edges that they're a couple decent players, but you have Frank Vogel. They were awful last year. I'm teeter-tottering. I'd probably go push.
Yeah, that's fine.
The Vogel edition, kind of, because I watched Vogel bring Lance Stevenson and, you know, the garbage can Roy Hibbert to the Eastern Conference Finals.
He's a very tall garbage can.
He is a very tall garbage can. And they, you know, I think that he could squeeze something out of this weird roster.
From the heights of Frank Vogel to the depths of Randy Whitman.
Our last team in the preview.
The Washington Wizards.
This is the team. I feel sad for this team. I feel like they were so optimistic a couple years ago. They're a playoff team, had arguably the best young backcourt in the NBA.
Yeah.
Now we're just filled with questions of, is Bradley Beal good? Like, he looks awesome at times.
Will Trey Burke push Bradley Beal for minutes?
Oh, dear. I think this team is worse.
Yes, yes.
I don't get... They've sat on their hands pretty much outside of, again, another thing. They brought in Jan Mahinmi, who I think...
That's a decent pickup.
He's a decent player. But
that's wiped out by the Trey Burke acquisition.
And I don't know how that fits with Gortat even.
No.
Yeah.
Like they,
it doesn't.
They still don't have really a power forward. I don't get it.
I mean, they're probably better off starting Mahinmi.
I mean, I guess Markieff Morris is going to start. They lost Jared Dudley, who's a good rotation player. They brought in Magic players Jason Smith and Andrew Nicholson, who aren't that good.
No.
Mm-hmm. So I would guess.
Let's play the game between Jason Smith and Andrew Nicholson. Which one is white and which one is black?
Right.
Those both sound like potential Pacers to me, gentlemen.
They could be traded.
I mean, honestly, I would go with a push. I can't argue that they're worse, but I definitely can't say they're better.
Yeah.
No butter here.
And we can't like bank on injuries or health for our decisions here.
Gortat's slouching towards the Drunas Ilgauskas territory.
I want to see a John Wall for Boogie straight up trade. I know the Wizards would then be stuck with a weird front court, much like the Kings are. But I want to see John Wall on that Kings roster, and then I want to see you know, let's get Boogie to the East and a change of pace. But anyway, yeah.
I'm going Parquet, but I mean, all this we've went through, and I don't know by our tally how many teams are worse.
It was a very well, so I it thought, was not a very buttery outlook.
I thought most of the Atlantic got better, where you guys didn't totally weren't on it. Central is kind of mixed, but I think the Southeast, one of the reasons, you know, like the Hornets, I think are worse, but I think the Southeast division is going to be
devil's advocate position.
Rough.
Did they underachieve so much last year that they'll be butter just by virtue of they can't
win total wise? I think
depths,
win total, right. You're probably right. Because, I think they were such a big disappointment. Because I feel like, in my mind, John Wall's a guy who is a one-man wrecking crew enough that he should be able to elevate his team to the playoffs. I was very surprised they missed the playoffs with him, you know, on the team.
They should probably be a playoff team again, so maybe they are butter.
It's going to be hard to replace the Garrett Temple, though.
Ooh.
Jesus.
Sarcasm.
I just yawned at that.
$8 million a year. All right, so that's our whole Eastern Conference.
Smashed up the Temple.
Feel free to let us know what we got wrong on these things or how we were.
Or don't.
No, let us know. Hit us up on Twitter at FastBreakBreak.
That's perfect. Yeah. Our par fadeaways are, it's here, boys.
Season.
Basketball's happening.
Denzel Valentine, lead guard, y'all.
Lead guard. Tony Allen, point guard. Man, I watched some, man, Saturday night was so good. I had the two screens going. I was streaming a Grizzlies scrimmage and watching the Warriors Raptors. Man, I saw Tony Roten pick Andrew Harrison's pocket.
Oh, Andrew Harrison, that's going to be a nightmare.
It's coming.
I got excited.
He's not going to be on the team,
right? What's great about it is we get to see Keith turn this excitement into eventual playoff just disinterest.
Loathing.
Yeah. Yep. Is this where he gets to the point? It's like, I don't want to see the same teams play for 7 games in a row.
The next 2 months are just pure joy.
It is.
And then I get bored.
And then the playoffs happen, and then you're bored, and then the tournament happens.
Original gangsta hipster.
And then we'll be on year 4.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks you guys for listening. Remember to write those iTunes reviews to win your Fan Essentials. Check us out on Facebook. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.